During the past 4 weeks, we have been focusing on following in His steps. We have been recognizing the footprints we are called to follow. We have considered what it means for us to be passionate in prayer, to come intentionally into His presence through worship, to give with radical generosity, and to surrender ourselves through service. Now it is time for us to make a commitment. Welcome to Fraser 365. I'm Dr. Neil Epler, Associate Pastor of Congregational Care and Older Adult Ministries at Fraser Church in Montgomery, Alabama. As we prepare to commit ourselves to pray, worship, give, and serve, we want to bathe this time in prayer and seek God's guidance and blessing. Thank you for joining us. Welcome to day 3 of praying for our commitments for the coming year. Today's message is entitled, Offering Prayers for Others. Our text comes from the Gospel of Mark, the 9th chapter, verses 14 through 19 and 25 through 29. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder, and they ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked and convulsed him violently and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" And he replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer, and some manuscripts say prayer and fasting." Now some thoughts. Jesus knew of the tremendous power of prayer. Jesus knew that when prayer and faith were linked together, there was nothing that was impossible. In this passage, Jesus and three of his disciples are returning from the Mount of Transfiguration. This was a powerful prayer experience, as Jesus' appearance changed right before the eyes of Peter, James, and John. His clothes became dazzling white, and suddenly Moses and Elijah appeared with him. The three disciples were enveloped in a cloud, and God spoke to them about his beloved son. Wow! Can you imagine what that experience was like? They were then told not to speak about what happened until after the resurrection. That must have been almost impossible to do. It was when they came down from this experience that we see them join the other disciples, who are in a discussion with the teachers of the law. Verse 14. Jesus asked them, "What is going on?" Verse 16. A man shares with Jesus about his son, who is possessed by a demon. He asked Jesus' disciples to cast it out, but they could not do it. Verses 17 and 18. Jesus rebuffs his disciples and the other bystanders for their lack of faith. Verse 19. As a crowd begins to gather, Jesus rebukes the demon and commands him to come out of the boy. Verse 25. The spirit violently leaves the boy, and it seems like he is dead. Verse 26. But Jesus raises the boy up and restores him to his father. Verse 27. Later, the disciples asked Jesus why they could not cast out the demon. And Jesus replied that it could only be removed through the power of prayer, and some manuscripts add fasting. Verse 29. Oh, the tremendous power of prayer. We too have been given the tremendous power of prayer. James reminds us that the prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. James 5, verse 16. He reminds us how Elijah prayed that it would not rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Later, when he prayed, the rain fell. James 5, verses 17 through 18. Yet how slow we are to use this powerful God-given gift. When we see people hurting, what is the first thing we do? When we see people struggling, falling prey to bad habits and sin, or going through dark and difficult places, how do we help them? The first thing we should do is pray. Yes, we can pray in our hearts, but we can also stop what we are doing right where we are and lift them up in prayer. I prayed for people in homes and in hospitals. I've prayed for people in parking lots and elevators. I've prayed for people in churches, in schools, and at work. I prayed for people in shops and in restaurants. Yes, I have even prayed for people in Walmart. The other day, as I was driving by St. James Church on Ryan Road, I saw a circle of people praying outside by the Wheels of Life bus. They were holding hands. Their eyes were closed. And I could tell they were fervently praying for the ministry and the work they would do that day. Since then, I've heard in this year alone, they've had 43 people receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Oh yes, prayer is a powerful thing. And when prayer is combined with faith, all things are possible. Jesus tells us that with a small amount of faith, we can move mountains. Matthew 17, verse 20. In Matthew 18, verse 19, we read, "Again, truly I tell you, that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." Let us use this mighty power of prayer. Let us lift each other up and encourage one another as we commit ourselves in this new year, offering prayers for others whenever and wherever is God's way. And now some questions to consider. When is the last time you prayed with a friend, a neighbor, or a family member? Where was the most unusual place you prayed for someone? What keeps you from praying with and for others? Thank you for listening, and have a blessed day.